This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
Tell us, what was the main focus of Pope Francis this morning at his Wednesday general audience?
Absolutely. Well, sure enough, John, the Pope Francis continued his discussion on apostolic zeal today, and he focused on a great saint, St. Charles de Foucauld, and he looked at specifically the way that St. Charles reflected a joyful witness, as he called it. And St. Francis spoke, or excuse me, Pope Francis spoke about St. Charles, who was a man, to give you a little background, he was born in Strasbourg in 1858, and he served as a soldier in the French army before he became a hermit and then a Catholic priest amongst the Tuareg people in Algeria. And it was there in Algeria that he was assassinated in 1916. And as a side note, if you haven't seen Fulton Sheen's episode on St. Charles de Foucauld, it's just fantastic. It is so inspirational. It's really a must listen. So today, Pope Francis said that St. Charles made Jesus and his poorest brothers and sisters what he called the passion of his life. And after his conversion, St. Charles wrote to a non-believing friend that he had, quote, lost his heart to Jesus of Nazareth, those beautiful words. And Pope Francis really, really tuned in on that, saying that those words show the first step in evangelizing is to have Jesus at the center of your heart. And the Pope went on to say that if it doesn't happen, if Christ isn't at the center of your heart, then you can't show it with your life, because instead you risk talking about yourself, about your group, about morality, your morality, your set of rules, but not about Jesus, about his love and his mercy. And the Pope noted that St. Charles de Foucauld moved from attraction to Jesus to imitation of Jesus. And he even said he felt like a younger brother to the Lord himself. And so St. Charles went so far as to move to the most remote of places, right, to the Sahara Desert, to live there amongst the Tuareg people, to cry out the gospel in silence. And St. Charles let Jesus act silently and convinced that the Eucharistic life evangelizes. And the Pope said he believed that Christ is the first evangelizer, and that is why St. Charles was able to continue from there. The Pope noted that St. Charles spent up to 12 hours in a day before the tabernacle in prayer. And so today, with that in mind, he invited all Christians to take up this same call to evangelization, to kneel and welcome the action of the Spirit. And Pope Francis invited everyone to live with what he called Christian joy, Christian meekness, with Christian tenderness and compassion and closeness. And then, John, today the Pope went on in his prayer requests to specifically appeal for peace in the Holy Land, calling on all parties to lay down their weapons. He said the number of victims is growing. The humanitarian situation is desperate. He prayed that everything possible be done to avoid a humanitarian catastrophe. And he also drew attention to the unsettling possibility of the conflict's expansion. He said that the world is already witness right now to so many open war fronts. And in light of these circumstances, he called all to lay down weapons and heed the cries for peace from the poor, the people, and the innocent children. He went on to say that war solves no problems. It only sows death and destruction. It increases hatred. It multiplies revenge. War erases the future. And he went on to urge all believers to take only one side, and that is the side of peace. He said, not with words, but with prayer and total dedication, John.
And Ashley, obviously, the Holy Father, thinking of the importance of prayer and sharing that sentiment with all of us in light of yesterday's global day of prayer and fasting for peace in the Holy Land, and obviously with the other war that's been going on now for going on almost 2 years in Ukraine with Russia.
Yes, in fact. So yesterday was a day that everyone was asked to set aside as a special day of fasting, abstinence, prayer for peace, and for reconciliation. And this came specifically through a request by Cardinal B Pierre Battista Pizzaballa, who is, he was writing to the Assembly of Catholic Ordinaries in the Holy Land. He's the Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem. And so he specifically urged people to come together with prayer times and Eucharistic adoration, recitation of the Rosary to Our Lady. And he said that this is through coming together collectively in prayer, we can show God our thirst for peace and justice and reconciliation. And so, in response to that, the patriarchs and heads of the churches in Jerusalem also urged churches to come together. The International Union of Superiors General also invited all of its members to come together, and saying that this is a time for the global community to pray together so that peace prevails over violence. And so, with all of this said, indeed, here in Rome, there was a very special candlelight prayer service that took place. It was at the Church of Saint Mary Major, and it was led by Cardinal Angelo De Donatis, who is the vicar of the Diocese of Rome. And the prayer service was right in front of that beautiful, beautiful image of Our Lady of the Salvation of the People of Rome. And that's the same image, Sean, of course, where Pope Francis prays before and after all of his international trips. And Cardinal De Donatis read specifically from Pope St. John the 23rd's 1963 encyclical Pacem in Terris, which means peace on earth. He read, "May all peoples welcome each other to their hearts as brothers, and may the peace they long for ever flow and ever reign among them." And that's our prayer. And in a similar way, Pope Francis has now made a similar call. He's asked all Christians to pray and fast and do penance on October 27th, specifically for the intention of peace. So now we have that opportunity to mark our calendars to set that day aside as a time of prayer and fasting and penance. He encouraged people of different Christian denominations, of other religions, all who advocate for peace to participate and to become and to involve all the people of God. And so here in Rome, the central event will be an hour of prayer starting at 6 p.m. in St. Peter's Square, of course, with the goal of invoking peace for the world, John.
Many, many prayers needed, not only in Rome, but all over the world for peace, especially in the Holy Land. Just one other quick thought, the Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem, Cardinal Pizzaballa, I had heard that he actually offered himself. He was willing to give himself up in exchange for the children hospitals, which I found absolutely amazing, a heroic virtue to even suggest such an idea.
Yes, it's really quite incredible and quite selfless. So he is it's really a ray of hope in the middle of this, because he's offered himself as a living ransom for children held captive in the Gaza Strip by Hamas militants. He was speaking at a video conference with journalists, and he mentioned that he would be ready for this exchange. He said he has absolute availability. That was the quote he gave, and he said it's because of a deep concern for the well-being of these innocent children. And it's really a beautiful example of the sacrifice and compassion that the church upholds, Sean.
We continue to pray. We need supernatural means because so far it doesn't look like on natural means this conflict is going to end anytime soon.
Doesn't. And in fact, the Pope recently called parishioners in the Holy Family Catholic Parish in Gaza, where about 500 people, including sick and families and children and disabled, are now sheltered. And they said that even there, they are finding little rays of hope. They're celebrating two masses every day. They pray the rosary with the children, with the families. They even this past Sunday, they even baptized a little baby into the Christian faith. So the call, of course, from the Pope really gave them a ray of hope. And they mentioned that they are offering all of their suffering specifically for peace and for justice, John.
Meanwhile, a couple days ago, on Monday, October 16th, Rome remembered the 80th anniversary of the Nazi deportation of its Jews. This is a big anniversary, and it's such a reminder. There was anti-Semitism way back then. We're seeing the ugly eye of it even today.
Well, yes, this happened back in 1943, and at dawn on the morning of October 16th, a Nazi raid in the Jewish quarter of Rome occurred. And 2 days later, over 1,022 Roman Jews were sent to Auschwitz on a sealed train, and there were 200 children that were among that group. And only 16 of those would make it back to Rome alive, one woman and 15 men. And so Rome this year celebrates the 80th anniversary of that deportation. The celebrations, the commemorations this week have been under the banner, quote, "We remember the past because we care about the future." And so they've staged all kinds of events and initiatives to remember this, including film screenings. They're having meetings and talks. They're holding theatrical performances and tours and exhibitions, as well as a solemn March of Remembrance. So the March of Remembrance was led by our mayor, and it happened on the evening of the 16th of October, finishing with our president, Mattarella, laying a wreath outside of Rome's synagogue. Also, one of the projects this year is a very short animated film that has been shown on a particular bus route here in the city. And the film tells the true story of a little boy. His name was Emanuele Di Porto. He was 12 years old when he woke up on that morning of October 16th. And he saw Nazi troops forcing his mom into the back of a truck. And he ran down the stairs to be with his mom. And she shouted back to him. She pushed him away and she said, "He's not my son. He's not Jewish." And she shoved him away. And he was so confused and he just didn't understand what was happening. And he wandered to Piazza Monte Savello and he got on a tram. And he went up to the tram conductor and he explained what had just happened. And the tram conductor had him sit next to him there on board. And he remained for 2 days on the tram through a succession of different drivers, all of whom protected him, brought him food, made sure that he had blankets at night, until finally on the third day, a neighbor of Emanuele got on board and was able to reunite the little boy with his father and brothers who had escaped the deportation. Of course, the young Emanuele never saw his mother again, but she's remembered with a little brass cobblestone memorial outside of their home in the Jewish quarter, where little Emanuele, who's now 92, he still lives there today. And they've also been remembering the doctors who saved Jews during that time. This happened at the 450-year-old Frate Beni Fratelli Hospital. This was founded by St. John of God, this hospital. And it's on the tiny little island in the middle of Rome's Tiber River called Tiber Island. And on that very day of October 16, 1943, some Jews fled to that Catholic hospital seeking some kind of refuge. And doctors cleverly came up with the plan, and they admitted them to the hospital, and they gave them case files reading that they were stricken with Syndrome K. Now, Syndrome K is a disease that does not actually exist in any medical textbook or on a physician's chart. It was a code name invented by these doctors to help distinguish between patients and healthy Jewish hideaways. So these Syndrome K victims were listed as very, very contagious, and they were instructed to cough ferociously when Nazis walked through the halls. So they were saved. as a result of that. And in fact, years later, Frate Bene Fratelli Hospital was honored as a House of Life by the Wallenberg Foundation, which is a U.S. organization dedicated to honoring heroic acts during the Holocaust. And in these days, they're also remembering on this 80th anniversary, they're remembering Chief Rabbi Zolli. Now, Chief Rabbi Zolli, who was chief rabbi at that time, he was quoted in a New York Times piece in June 17th of 1944, that the Pope and the Vatican worked tirelessly to save Jews and hid many Jews at convents and monasteries and inside Vatican City. And less than 1 year after that New York Times piece was written, Rabbi Zolli and his entire family converted to Catholicism. And then on my very street, the doctor around the corner who is from Germany every year creates an art show with poetry and music to remember this day of October 16th, 1943, John.
Obviously, a day that will never be forgotten. Meanwhile, today is the feast of St. Luke the Evangelist, and then we just celebrated yesterday St. Ignatius of Antioch, the great early church father. A couple of big feasts. How are they being celebrated? How were they celebrated yesterday in Roma?
Oh, yes, in fact. Well, in St. Peter's Basilica, inside the Treasury Museum, there's a silver reliquary bust that is said to contain the head of St. Luke. And so this is a place that people visit on this great day. Also, the Church of St. Augustine, where the icon above the main altar is said to have been written by the very hand of Luke, as well as the icon of the Salvation of the People of Rome in St. Mary Major. And then in a parish dedicated to St. Luke here in Rome, they're having many days of celebration. For 4 days, they're doing an hour and a half of reading from the Gospel of Luke every day. They are having a special prayer services each day for different groups. One day for first communicants, next day for young people preparing for confirmation, next day for the elderly, and then for the family. And on the day of the family, they're doing marriage vow renewals and prayers for expectant mothers. They're having a procession with a statue of St. Luke, finishing with dinner and a band, and of course, a bocce tournament. Why not? And then, John, you mentioned St. Ignatius of Antioch, whose feast was yesterday. Well, he, the Christian bishop of Syrian Antioch, was, of course, martyred in 107 AD, torn to pieces by lions in the Colosseum while 87,000 Romans applauded. Now, his remains are inside of the church of San Clemente, the Church of St. Clement. So this is a place where people visited, especially yesterday, as well as going to the Colosseum and laying wreaths at the very entrance, the very place, the back entrance where St. Ignatius of Antioch would have entered so bravely to his death, where he wrote that he would willingly die for God, that he was the wheat of God, ground by the teeth of the wild beasts, and he prayed that he may be found the pure bread of God, John.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.